Thank you for the privilege to be here. Let's quickly pray. Father, this evening, God, we are just aware of how great and how big and how strong you are, Lord. God, and we just look at this little miracle, Lisa, God, this little tiny little baby that you have formed in her mother's womb, Lord. God, and we just see how big and how great you are, God. God, and this evening, God, if we can manage one thing, God, just to make sure that you know, God, that we know, God, that you are the only God, and you are the biggest God, Lord, and that we are here because of you and for you. God, and we love you, God. And Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us this evening, God, and that you will use an empty vessel to bring your word, God. And that your word will cut between bone and marrow this evening. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. I've got 45 minutes, and I believe I'm going to manage to be finished by 5:45. The title of my sermon this evening is The Weight of God. I had a sermon prepared for you guys, and I was convinced that that's the word for this evening. And as I woke up this morning, I really sensed that the Holy Spirit wanted to do something else. So I believe this is a word from God. And I want to speak about the weight of God. Now, when we come to God, when we become born again, I don't think we always know and understand who we encountered and who we are encountering. And before we become born again, and I know like Philip always says, how do you know if you are born again? How do you know if a train hit you? You will know if you were birthed for a second time. You will know that. You will know if you have a relationship with God or not. And when we become born again, we encounter the Almighty God. And I'm not always sure whether we fully realize the huge difference between before we were born again and after we become born again. Because before we are born again, and like we just said with Lisa, she must still make that decision somewhere along the way. But before we become born again, we can more or less make our own decisions. We are not aware of We are aware, everybody is aware of something bigger, but we don't really know what that is, and we live our lives the way we want to live our lives. We wake up and we are conditioned in a certain way, the way we grew up, experiences, and et cetera, et cetera, and we live our lives in a way that we think is good and fine and right, and then we become born again, and we encounter the only living God. The God who created all the planets and the whole universe and every person. And with that, everything changes. Everything. And there's no way that we can serve this God. There's no way that we can say, okay, God, here I am. I made a decision for you now. I want to be a God chaser. I want to pursue you. I want to have a relationship with you. So I am open to whatever you want to do in my life. There is no way that we can stay the way that we are. If we give God permission to intervene into our lives, we must know and understand with that comes what I want to call this evening, the weight of God. It is like we were there, we lived our lives, and then one day we opened the door to the Almighty God who made a way for us to be with Him eternally. And together with that decision comes a weight of a kind of presence that we have never known before. And I want to speak about that this evening. And where I got this from is, as I was just sitting last night, I'm staying with Dania and Jacobine on the farm, and it's so quiet and just beautiful and peaceful. And I was just sitting on the couch meditating on God. And the song that I always refer back to came to me. He is jealous for me. And then it says, love like a hurricane. I am the tree, bended beneath the weight of his love and his mercy. And I just realized that when we come to God, there is a weight that comes. And that weight is something that we will figuratively bend under. And we will live under the weight of God. And that is altogether a very full-on experience. But if we are not open to pursue God wholeheartedly and with all that is in us, to be completely and obsessively passionate about God, we will not bend under that weight in the way that we will when we do pursue God, excuse me, when we do pursue God with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our minds. But when we make that decision for God, we must know that there is a weight that will come with that. And it's a bit of an abstract thing that I am trusting God to bring us divine understanding by the Spirit of God for us to understand this. I want to read you a scripture. Psalm 66, verse 8 to 12. Psalm 66, verse 8 to 12. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. Listen to this. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to reach fulfillment. I want to read that last scripture again. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to reach fulfillment. Now, this scripture is not one that we would often quote, because it speaks here about the fact that God will allow things to happen, and God might even cause things to happen where we will feel that we are afflicted, where we will feel that we are being driven over, where we will feel that we are lying there prostrate on the ground. We are beaten, we are exhausted, we cannot take anything more. The challenges will come, the things will come our way. And then it says, we went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to reach fulfillment. And what I want to share this evening is that in our lives, as we are chasing after God, as we are pursuing God, we must understand very well, it is not a bed of roses. And many, many times, the weight of God will come in a way where we feel it is too much and it is too heavy. But in fact, it is actually really, that is what it is. It is the weight of God. And when we go and we look at the Word of God, we will see this all over the Word of God. When people make that decision to give every commitment that they have, to pour out their lives into serving God, then God will walk, they will make that journey with God in their lives. And that journey is never easy. Anybody that has experienced that already? Let's look at Joseph, for instance. What happened to Joseph? Most of us know the story of Joseph. Joseph was the apple of his father's eye. He favored him. His dad favored him. His brothers were jealous. Joseph did nothing to deserve that. It wasn't his fault that his father had favored him. And then they decide to kill him, and then they don't kill him, and then they sell him as a slave. And when we go and read about slavery in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, when we understand slavery, we will understand what Joseph had to go through. Joseph innocently became a slave. And then he worked as a slave, and he was promoted and promoted again, and he worked in the house of Potiphar, and then Joseph is falsely accused, and he has to go to prison. And for a couple of years, he has to be in prison, and he must bend under the weight of God. He did nothing to deserve that. He wasn't a bad boy. He wasn't a terrible sinner or a murderer. He was just somebody who wanted to follow God with all of his heart. And he had to bend under the weight of God, the journey that God wanted to take Joseph. To bring Joseph into rich fulfillment, like we just read here. God, you are afflicting us. You are riding over us. You cause men. We are in fire. We go through fire and water. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. And Joseph could never end up becoming second in charge of the most powerful country at the time in the world if he didn't have to go and bend under the weight of the love and the mercy of God, who doesn't always seem like love and who doesn't always seem like mercy. And then we look at Esther. And it is so precious to me that Lisa is actually named after Esther, and there's a word over her life for such a time as this, because Esther had one thing that caused her to walk the journey that she walked, the thing that God planned before she was born, and that was her beauty. And because she was so beautiful, at a young age, she was ripped away from everything that she knew, everything that was familiar to her, and she had to go and be one of the contestants. She had no choice in that, to be married to the king. And then they had to go to the king, one after the other, for a night. That sounds absurd, doesn't it? For the king to decide who he wants to marry. They didn't sit there with the king and chat. You know what they had to do. And then Esther is the decision that the king makes, and he doesn't know that she's a Jew. And then the test comes. Then the refining comes. Because then a whole nation, all the Jews, are in danger of losing their lives. A whole nation being wiped out. And God has chosen one woman to save them, and her name is Esther. And she has to bend under the weight of God as she risks her life to go to the king without the king having summoned her. He already got rid of his first wife. There was no reason why he couldn't get rid of his second wife. She had to bend under the weight of God's love and mercy to be able to end into rich fulfillment, to come to that place where God has called her to. She had to risk her life. What about Jonah? What about Paul? If we think about Paul and everything that the Apostle Paul had to bear, every affliction, every time he was tortured, he was stoned, he was rejected, he had to to flee for his life. He had to sit in a dungeon, bending under the love and the mercy of God, the weight of God resting heavily on the life of the Apostle Paul, to end in rich fulfillment. And then Paul says, whether I live or whether I die, my life is Christ. I only gain, because it doesn't matter what happens, I am in Christ. And one day, like David says, in his courts, is better than 1,000 outside. And every one of us, we come to God and we say, okay, God, I understand. You want everything of me, and I will give you everything. And then, in that moment, you open the door for the Holy Spirit to come in and for the weight of God to come and rest on your life. And many people stop right there because they don't understand the season that they are in. Like Joseph, they are in prison and they say, why is God doing this to me? Where is God? The Word of God says, when I call out to Him, He will deliver me. Why doesn't He deliver me? Why am I stuck here? Why aren't these things fixed? Why do I have to stay in this place of hardship all the time? Because God is busy with a journey. God is weighing heavily on your life to end in rich fulfillment. That is the way it is. We have a man in our church. His name is Pierre. He's in his 50s. He was an alcoholic for about 30 years. He messed up 3 marriages. I think 3. He messed up in his relationship with his children. He had, I think, 5 car accidents because of drunk driving. He never died. He got some pretty bad injuries, spent some time in hospital. He never died. He had nothing to be proud of. He had nothing to stand on. His whole life was a gigantic mess. And then one evening, it is all too much for him, and he decides to end his life. And he takes his cell phone, and he decides to send an SMS to some or other family member to tell them, listen, I'm ending my life. But for some or other absurd reason, instead of sending this SMS to whoever he wanted to send it to, he sends it to a man in our church who knew him. And the SMS says, this is it. I cannot do this anymore. I am such a loser. I'm ending my life. And Johan, who got the SMS, jumps into his car and he goes there to find Pierre already starting taking the pills to kill himself. And he helped him there and then, got some medical help, and they pray for him, and they start walking the road with him, and he was raised up. And now, only about 2 years later, I don't even know how long, he is a mighty, mighty man of God. And God has gifted him with the anointing for healing. And he's busy praying somebody out of a wheelchair, somebody who couldn't move. She can already move her arms. She can already move her feet. We are just waiting for her to get out of that wheelchair. There is a huge anointing on that man's life. Now what happened to him now? He's a car salesman. And at the business where he works, as a car salesman, he can't do honest business and survive. He can't do honest business and still be wanted there because it's not going there. We have to be dishonest. So he got fired on Monday. They walked into his office and they said to him, pack your bags. You are leaving now. He had to pack his bags. He had to take everything out of his office and go home. And now he has no income. Now there is just nothing. He only has one thing, but the thing that he has is God. And I spoke to him and I said to him, Pierre, how do you feel? How are you coping with this? And he said to me, I know that that the hand of God is resting on me, and I have no doubt. And I look at him and I see somebody who is bending under the love and the mercy of an almighty God, and it is not easy. I want to read another scripture from Job. Most of us will know the story. Satan went to God and he said, "This servant of yours, Job, is just too perfect for words." He says to God, "Let's see if things go wrong in his life, if he will still serve you, if he will still want to know you." And God says, "Okay, Satan, that's fine, let's do it." And then we read here, Job 42, verse 1 and 2. Now this is at the end of Job. We all, most of us know, if we don't know, we can just go and read Job. He lost everything. He lost his family. He was a wealthy man. He lost everything that he had. And then he lost his health as well. He only didn't lose his wife and he didn't lose his life. He still had his life. Listen to what Job says, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." And then verse 5. "I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." Job loved God. Job knew God. Job was committed and faithful to God. And then the hand of God on Job's life, the weight of God came over him and he was bending underneath it. And it was a very extremely difficult journey that he had to go through. But what does Job say at the end of this journey? It's ironic, you know. He says, "God, I heard you with my ears, but now I really see you." He says, "Now, after everything, God, after you allowed me to suffer more than I can even express in words, now I have a revelation of you. Now I can see you with my eyes. Now, God, I understand who you are." And that same song that sings about the weight of his love and mercy, it says, "These afflictions that God brings upon us, caused by glory." And then we realize how beautiful God is. And every person, we go to the Word of God, take every individual life, take Daniel, take Moses, take every single one of them, those who are, take Mary. What Mary as a mother had to go through to see her son hanging on the cross, to raise the Son of God, a baby that was illegitimate. Every single individual in the Word of God, they had a difficult journey. Do you agree with me? They had a difficult journey. They had huge challenges. They had the weight of God weighing heavily upon them, and they had to bend under that weight. And you know what happens when we have to bend under the weight of God? We end up on our knees. And when we end up on our knees, we take a position of humility. And we say, "God, Lord Jesus, you have to help me through this." And that is called the refiner's fire. And that is where the Word of God speaks about the silver that is being refined in the fire. In other places, it speaks about the olive press, that olive has to be pressed very hard, very, very hard for the olive oil to come out. And when we stop at the olive press, when we stop in the refiner's fire, when we stop in that place of suffering, then we never move on to the rich fulfillment. We never move on. We never move into that place that God has called us to. That place of victory. That place where we can see, God, I heard you with my ears, but now my eyes have seen you. And God, that hand of yours weighing so heavily upon me, I understand now how beautiful you are. I understand now, God. I understand now. I can see you. And I can see, Lord, what you mean when you say, take up your cross and follow me. And I promise you, church, precious, precious people of God, I am so convinced about this. I know that I know, and I promise you, there is no greater and deeper and more full-on experience than being in that place with God. Being in that place of God. You know, I was sitting on the farm at Donnie and Jacqueline's this afternoon. They've got a lovely, like a swing, hung bunk. What do you call it? A hung bunk, swing bunk, whatever, couch thing that can swing. I was sitting on that thing, just looking at the farm, and I was so tired, and I have so many challenges in my life at the moment, and 2 days ago, I just broke before God. I said, God, I cannot do it anymore. God, I am just nowhere. And I sat there just before we left for church, and I said, God, I just know that you are out here, God. I just know as I am sitting here, God, I cannot see you, but you are here with me. And will you please just fill me with that knowledge, God, that I am in this place with you. And that I know that this is a journey. And when we look at Job, when we look at the life of Job, and the struggle that he had, Job had such a struggle with God. Go and read the book of Job. Such a struggle. God, why are you bringing all the sorrow? It is one thing to lose one child. I mean, that is already unthinkable to most of us. And those who have experienced it will know it is the hardest thing. But how about losing all your children? It is one thing losing your car or losing your house. How about losing everything that you have and your reputation, losing face altogether, covered with sores? He was desperate before God. But he never turned his back on God. He never said, this is it. And it is right there when Satan was kicked in the butt big time. Because he said to God, God, look at this boy Job. He will stop serving you when things go bad for him. Everything is going good for him. But he never stopped serving God. And there is something very godly and very blessed and very precious about struggling it through with God. About going into that inner room and closing the door and saying, Lord Jesus, please, where are you? Why aren't you coming through for me? What is going on here, God? I cannot do this any longer, God. I am at the end of myself. Struggling and battling that thing through with God. That is pursuing a relationship with God. And I promise us, I promise you, believe me, every one of us who is serious about God will have to endure the weight of God on our lives. To be able to come to that place of rich fulfillment, that place of glory. I want to read another scripture. Romans 9, verse 14. Listen to this. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. Verse 15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. Then verse 18. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. Verse 20 and 21. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Listen to verse 21. Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? The scripture speaks about the fact that God can do whatever he wants to. Because he's God. So if God decides that Pharaoh will harden his heart, then Pharaoh will harden his heart. If God decides that Judah will be the one to turn his back on Jesus, then Judah is the one. At the same time, just further on in Romans 10, it says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I can assure us, not one of us that is sitting here is chosen to be a vessel of dishonor. Because we are here, because we are calling on the name of God. So we don't need to fear. But what I want to say is, God can do whatever he wants to do. There is no purpose in us trying to fight God. There is no victory in turning our backs on God. And when the presence of God and the weight of God is weighing heavily on us, then we must understand and realize that God is God, and we will never fully understand him. The word of God says, now we see in a dim light, but one day we will see fully. We will understand fully. As I am standing here and I'm preaching this word, I can assure you, I have many, many questions. And unbelievers come to me and they ask me many, many questions, and I tell them, I really don't know. I don't have all the answers. Nobody in my church has all the answers. But the word of God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience him and you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is real, that he is God, and that he can in fact do whatever he wants to do. We have friends, and I often refer to them because I will always, because it's such a powerful testimony. Their three-year-old little girl drowned in their own swimming pool. And I went to God. I was desperate before God. I was on my knees, and I said, God, how could you? Why didn't you save little Mika? Why didn't you save her? Why didn't you? Your arm is not too short to reach out into that water. You could have rescued her. God, why did you not do it? I still don't know the answer. God never answered me. But I know this. The mother and the father of that three-year-old girl is no longer bending under the weight of God. They are prostrate, lying down. And I look at them and I see the oil coming out of that olive like I've never seen before. I see that silver being refined. You know, I read something, and I'm not an expert on this, but apparently when the goldsmith is refining that gold or that silver, it must be so refined that he can see his own image in it. God is busy refining some of us to the point where he can look at us and he can see himself in us. And that is what it is all about. I want to read another scripture. And that is 1 Chronicles 4. Verse 9. Most of us will know the scripture because Bruce Wilkinson wrote the whole book on it. It's about Jabez. Listen to this. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez, now if we look at the meaning of Jabez, it actually means you will cause pain. His mother named him, you will cause pain. I mean, what a prophecy to have over your life. Listen to this. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. It is a desperate cry that Jabez had. And listen to this. So God granted him what he requested. No wonder Bruce Wilkinson wrote a book on this. Because we see the genealogy. This was the son of this. This was the son. We always read those things and we say, yeah, 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 whatever, whatever. That's what I do. Whatever the son. No. And then there's Jabez. And two scriptures in the Word of God are referring to this man whose mother says to him, you will cause pain. You caused me so much pain. And another translation says sorrow. You will cause sorrow. And then we see Jabez desperately crying out to God. And he says, God, I do not want to cause pain. I want to be a blessing. And then he says to God, so will you, Almighty God of Israel, will you, please, if you don't mind, bless me. And not just bless me, God, enlarge my territory. Know what happened to Joseph after he went through the refiner's fire and bending under God? His territory was enlarged. Know what happened to Esther? After everything that she had to endure, her territory was enlarged. What happened to the Apostle Paul? What happened to Moses being adopted by Pharaoh, killing somebody, fleeing to the wilderness, having to face the mightiest man on earth, this is the shepherd? What happened to him? He lifts his arms and the whole Red Sea opens. His territory was enlarged. What happens to Daniel's three friends after being physically in the fire? Their territory were enlarged. And I believe that God wants to enlarge every one of us, our territory. God says, I want you. I will never forget this. When the prayer of Jabez, when the book was written and everybody was excited about this book and there was a little conference, TV conference thing that we can... So our church came together and we watched this thing and we had, for a couple of weeks after that, we had some prayer meetings and we had this one precious man who prayed every single morning. He prayed, instead of saying, God, enlarge my territory, he said, God, broaden my borders. He was very Afrikaans. You know, and so often I come to God and I say, God, broaden my borders. God, just... There is a price to be paid for us to enlarge our territory. It is a worthy price, and it is a blessed price to pay, and it is a joy to pay it if we understand the heart of God. Listen to this. Listen to this. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus speaks, and he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen to this. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Listen to this. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There is something very, very precious in pursuing God. Because in the midst of this place where we are at, bending under God, the hand of God, the Word of God says, He holds everything in His hand. Can you imagine Earth, planet Earth, all the other planets, all the planets that we still have to discover, the whole universe, he holds in his hand. You know, my children, when we say, how big is God, they think literally. So my son will ask me, he's 5 years old, he will say, is God's pinky the size of our house? Or he will say, how big is God's little toe? Is it like our garden? And so the word of God says, he holds the whole universe in his hand. And then that same hand is resting upon us. But then the word of God says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because in this place, this journey that we have with God, in this place where we are bending under the presence of God, there is much liberty and much joy and no sorrow. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? I was sitting there outside this afternoon before we came here, and I said, Lord Jesus, I desperately need your peace. I desperately need to know that I can have joy and that I can have peace, and nothing will take away and steal that place of peace that I have with you. And that peace just came over me. The presence of God, something that I never ever want to lose, was just there with me. And I knew that I knew that I knew, in this place of hardship and difficulty, there is God. In that prison cell where Joseph is, there is God, giving him the ability to interpret dreams, giving him the ability to still rule and reign. And God is calling us to enjoy every step of the journey. That is because that is why the word speaks about unspeakable joy. Because when we live that life that is completely and absolutely given over to God, it will always be too big for us. It will always, when our territory is being enlarged all the time, it will always be that thing where we cannot, like Heinrich said now, I had to laugh when he said, all of us who have children, we understand and realize that we do not know how to raise their children the way that we should, and we really desperately need God. When we allow God to walk this journey with us, that we all want deep down, and it takes guts, hear me out, church, it takes guts, it takes courage. But when we do it, we find that we are always called to a higher place. We are always called to a deeper place. The word of God says, imagine the love of God, how high, how wide, how deep. This is the same with the places that God will take us. He will take us higher. He will take us deeper. He will take us further than we are ever prepared to go. Because if we could go there, we wouldn't need him. But now, he will take us to the place where we cannot go on our own. And we can do two things. We can freak out, and we can say, I'm climbing out of the bus now. Or we can say, okay, God, I will do it, because you will do it. And that is stepping off that cliff. And I can assure you, and I don't want to speak about myself, but I want to share my testimony with you this evening. I was sitting on that chair 40 minutes ago, and I was saying, God, I'm going up there, and I will step off that cliff, because I really have no strength. I really am so weak and so vulnerable, but I will do it because you will do it. Because you have a word for these precious people. And I have to finish now. I want to read a last scripture. Ephesians 2 verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Do you know what that word mercy means? Mercy means many things. Just want to see if I wrote it here. Mercy means unfailing love, kindness, tenderness, compassion. That is what mercy means. And when God comes to us and we say, God, this is it. I will do it. I will bend under the weight of your presence. There's no way that we can go all out for God and not knowing and understanding that bending. But God, when I do so, I know that towards me, you will have unfailing love. You will have kindness. You will have tenderness. And you will have compassion. And can I tell you a secret? Unless we are bending, we will never experience that kindness and tenderness and compassion. We will never experience it while we are standing upright. We will never experience the tenderness of our Daddy in heaven if we are not bending underneath the weight of his love and his mercy. Let's quickly stand. Father, we come to you this evening, Lord. Oh God, how real you are, Lord. God, you are so real this evening, God, it's almost as if we can touch you, Lord. Father, I want to lift up every single brother and sister of mine, every precious, precious soul that is sitting here this evening, God. God, I want to pray, God, that we will finish this journey that we have started. In the name of Jesus. God, I want to pray over us as a church, Lord. God, that we will understand the way that you work with us and the way that you walk with us, Lord. And God, that we will not fight and that we will not stand against the hand of Almighty God, because there is no purpose in that, Lord. It will be meaningless and there will be no fruit in that, God. But I want to prophesy over those of us standing before you this evening, God, that we will gladly bend under the weight of your love and your mercy. Because you will bring us into rich fulfillment in the name of Jesus.